This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Real Repentance Part 2, was delivered on October 13th, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Morning, New Hope! All right, hey, before we keep going, hey, we had 9 people baptized Sunday! Yay! And if you are here, you're one of the 9. I have your certificate, so would you come and get it, please? Nobody like come up. They're all shy after making a public declaration of your faith. AJ, yay! Branson, where him? Oh, he got baptized and then he went to Seattle. Art and Susan, yay! Myra. Myra, Ohia, Taliana. Come on, Grandma, because you are a big part of this, you know. You bring him to church. Yay! Right on. I mean, last week was an awesome week when we had our baptism. Little Emma, Dion's girl, caught a nice big papillo, bigger than the one James caught. Yeah, James? All right, some announcements. Hey, we still need donation of Halloween candy, and it's not for me to eat, okay? That we're doing the Puna Kids Party here on October 31st. It's an alternative for the kids not to go door-to-door, but we're going to be here serving hot dogs and chili bowls. So if you want to come and join us, please do. We always need a lot of volunteers. If you want to do a trunk or treat, let us know. We usually park the cars out here, and we do trunk or treat. And we're thinking of doing a contest because you know how competitive we get, right? We want to make ours the best. So we're going to do that. And then Curtis Town Assembly of God does games in the gym. So we're going to. That's coming up on the 31st, so we need your candy. We were thinking of making shirts, okay? So we got the embroidery all set up. I was going to get white for the ladies, but I've been hearing, like, I don't want white because you can see right through. Okay, I understand. So we're just going to do blue. It's going to be like a light blue, like those seat covers. So the sign-up sheet is over there on the table. There is, it's all going to be collared shirt, male and female. Unfortunately, in the blue, there is no long sleeve. For those of you who wanted long sleeve, if you can find one in light blue, because the embroidery is dark blue, you can bring it to me and I can throw it in with them. And if you bring your own shirt, I think the embroidery fee is like $12. So for those of you who we're going to get the shirts together, it's going to be like $12 plus the shirt. So sign-up sheets on the table. Any of parents over here with children in Keaau High School? Joe back there. Anybody? Or Jay? Anybody? Anybody's kids going to go to Keaau High School? They're in elementary school. Okay, this coming Thursday, I got invited and I got them to ask if you want to join us in a walkthrough in the Keaau High School campus, October 17th from 9 to 11. They're going to walk you to the campus. They're going to show you that, you know, people say Keaau High School is like bad, but it's really not. It's a really good place. And they want to show you that. So they're opening up our campus. Bless you. They're going to open up our campus. We can walk through. We can see the classroom, see the environment. And they're going to even give us a snack. So if you want to go, I'm going to let them know how much of us are coming on Thursday. I mean, it would be great if I can tell them, oh, we got 101 of us coming. Yeah. So that would be great. But if you do want to go, you want to see what the campus is like, because you're considering sending your children there, let me know today, And then we meet you there on Thursday at 9 a.m. All right? That's what's coming up. Bless you. Ushers, could we prepare to receive the tithes and the offerings? Hey, we've been doing this online giving for those of you who are new. And on the back of your bulletin, there's a way for you to give online. It's been catching on. We have a handful of people been doing that, especially for those of us, like, you know, I forget my checkbook, or you ever use your last check and then you have bills to pay? Oh, that's just a bad feeling. And sometimes you go traveling and it's like, oh, I want to give because I got paid and I'm not here. So we're not trying to get anything more out of you. We're just trying to make it more convenient for you. And we don't want you to give on your credit card if you cannot pay it off, okay? Because that's a bad thing. And I don't want that to be like, oh, I gave to the church, that's why I'm in debt now, and I got to pay 17% interest because I never have enough to pay it off. That's not how we want to work. So you can use your credit card or your debit card, but it's on the back of your bulletin, the number, and you got to text NHHI. It'll send you back a response, and you follow the prompts. And once you do it, it's pretty much set up, and it's very easy to do. So we've been getting, you know, some of that every week, and thank you so much for doing that. But if this is your home church, you know, we ask that you give. If you are a visitor, just receive this day as our gift to you. All right? So let's pray over the offering. Lord, thank you so much that we get to give to you of the abundance that you have given us. And Lord, I ask that you would bless the tithes, the offering, that we would continue to use it to reach the world, even as far as Turkey and Vietnam, wherever it is that the missions press would go, and wherever it is that you see that we should use our finances. So Lord, we ask that you would bless it and that we would use it to disciple and to raise up leaders, to train up people. We thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, one more thing. Go ahead, ushers. One more thing coming up. In a couple weeks, there is the SALT conference coming up at New Hope Hilo. SALT conference stands for Serving and Learning Together. If it's Wednesday night, Thursday all day, and Friday all day. And if you are interested, if you can get off of work, if you are retired and you have that luxury, you can go to newhopechurch.org and you can register online to go. And if you do, I will see you there. Art and Susan, did you guys register yet? Not yet. He registered. She did it. Good job, Susan. So we'll see you guys there if you guys want to go. It's a great opportunity to learn about how the church works, where I can serve, and what I can do. Amen? Great. Whew, that was a mouthful. I think I want to go home. Wow. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, open to the middle. Where's the middle? Yeah, you guys get it. Open it to the middle. We're going to continue on real repentance. And we're just going to review the beginning part, because when I went home, I seen my wife's bulletin. The whole front part was empty. She said, I talked too fast or I mumbled too much, and she didn't get it. I think she was sitting in the back with my daughter, so I know they was talking about Macy's, that's why. Right? No, they were talking about Zales, I think. More worse. Right. Isn't it getting cooler? Yeah, isn't it so nice it's getting cooler? It's turning into fall. Tom just came back from the mainland, and all the leaves are changing colors. Beautiful. Got to see God's beauty. Wow, right, yeah. You know, it's summer, I think it's done. And although summer is nice and it's hot, I kind of love, we're getting ready, coming into fall. Probably only like about, 12 weekends left before Christmas or something around that area. I know, anybody started Christmas shopping yet? No. I cannot raise my hand, but I just say anybody? Anybody? Nobody. You all normal. Because I'm going to do that on 2 weeks before Christmas and nobody's hand going up anywhere because you guys all normal. All right, so we're talking about repentance, yeah? Like real repentance. Not just say like, oh, Lord, I repent of my sins. Okay, I checked it off. Okay, done. Deal. Pow. I said it. and it's done. Okay, because the real repentance, it reveals our heart, our humility, our honesty. You know, it takes our humility to admit we are wrong. How many of you can say, I was wrong, my fault, my bad? One, two, three, four, five, yay! So the five of you go teach the rest of us. Man, you know, when you write, you can be wrong. Right? Even when we write, us men, we can be wrong. We can be 100% right, but 100% wrong. And sometimes we got to admit. And I think if we're humble, we're honest, we can say, oh, it's my fault, I was wrong. And it takes honesty to admit that, oh, man, I cannot do things on my own. I need God's help. So from Friday night to all the yesterday, my back has been just pain. And I need help getting around. I need help doing things. And I got to ask my wife, can you help me? Pastor Aaron is on a trip. He's traveling. So I got here extra early this morning to set up things. And I cannot lift that TV up on the stage. I don't know how Pastor Aaron does it, man. He carries that TV and he lifts it up on the stage. This big bass amp. It's like, no way, especially with a sore back. So I had to ask James, I need your help. And James helped me carry that TV up. James carried that amp all by himself. I think that's what you call Ulua fishing training. So when you carry that fish. So I think I should ask James to help me every Sunday so he gets enough training so that when he catches that big fish, he is equipped. But I needed help. I needed help doing. So I had to ask Scott to fill up the water jug because, man, my back was sore. So, you know, when we ask God for help, we admit that we need his help in repentance. Because honestly, to do it on our own is very hard. We need to repent. It allows the healing to begin in our lives because we can move on. We can admit and repent of falling short, and it allows God to come in and to help us deal with our responses to offenses. You know, when people make offenses against us, sometimes it's like, you know, it's so hard. You keep replaying it on and on and on, and the guy who cut you off is long gone. He's parked and he's shopping already, and you're playing it in your mind. You like go find his car and fat his tires, and you keep playing it. Was that only me? If you find your tires flat, it wasn't me, okay? But I just think about it. But when you repent and you say, oh, Lord, I shouldn't be thinking like that, because I shouldn't be thinking like that, right? I'm the pastor. No, I still fall short, okay? We repent because it helps us to grow spiritually. I mean, we accept responsibility when we make mistakes and we say sorry. And we ask God to forgive us, and we say sorry for those who we have hurt, and it helps us to grow spiritually. It builds trust in our relationships, because we are all human. We make mistakes. We step on each other's toes when we have different opinions, and because of that, we're times we disagree with one another, and sometimes we get upset. And we can say sorry and repent and forgive one another. And then what that does, it'll build trust in our relationship. And the one that I really like the most, why we need to repent, it diffuses Satan's tactics. Because you know Satan, he wants to pin us up against each other. And he makes us think things we shouldn't think. And when we can repent and turn from doing wrong to good, kind of like diffuses his tactics. It's like when somebody yells at you and you want to yell back because Satan is pushing your buttons. But when we repent and we don't yell back, then it kind of diffuses the fight that we were going to have. Yeah. So we're going to be back in Psalms 51. And we're going to continue from last week with point number 5. We need to repent because this is one of the things we need to let God break you and rebuild you. Sounds kind of harsh, but in Psalm 51:8, David says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. He's like, what? You're kidding me, right? When God reveals our sin to us, it can be very painful. David was already a sin-broken man when he wrote this psalm, and he just didn't fully realize it until God sent the prophet Nathan to show him his sin and break him all the way, like a doctor resetting a broken bone. It is God who breaks us, it is God who sets us, and it is God who heals us. And what happened here, I'm going to read from 2 Samuel. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn to it, because it's not on your bulletin, it's not on the PowerPoint, and I did that on purpose, because I like you bring your Bibles. Or if you have your iPhone or your iPad or something, 2 Samuel is in the Old Testament. It is after 1 Samuel. Makes sense. Okay, 2 Samuel 12. And this is what happened right before David wrote this. 2 Samuel 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David. Nathan is the prophet, right? And he came to him and said, there were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he brought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom, and was like a daughter to him. Now, a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and had no compassion. So David is mad about this story that Nathan the prophet is telling him. He said, that guy should die. Then Nathan turns to David. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Okay, you know what? Do I need to explain what's going on? Okay, this is what's happening. Okay, it's been, I don't know how many years since this happened, but David seen Bathsheba on the roof taking a bath. He told one of his guards, go get her. He got her. She brought her to a room. They slept together. She got pregnant. David sent Bathsheba's husband Uriah to the front lines, told the enemies to pull back so he would be killed. And so he covered up the affair with murder. So he was like the rich man taking this poor man's sheep and using it to feed, you know, his guests. And Nathan confronts him now and says, you are that man. So David is now, oh man, I am found out. And now he is like broken. And now God got to rebuild him. So although it's painful, we need to allow that to happen so that God can rebuild us. I don't know if you've ever been broken down, like you've been in the pit and there's nowhere else to look but up. I've been there, and it's not a good feeling, but it needed to be done so that God could rebuild me the way I needed to rebuild. I am like the million-dollar man, but better because it's spiritual now. I was broken and My wife prayed for me for many years, and I don't think her prayer was, Lord, bust him up, break him down, and give me the husband I deserve. I don't think it was like that. I think she just prayed, save my husband, and that allowed God to break me down, to rebuild me, and it had to happen because I was headed down so fast, and that I needed to repent. And I came to this point where I was broken, I was crying, and there was nowhere else to look but up. Which brings us to the next point, 6, be comforted by the Spirit. David says in Psalms 51:11, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. The very fact that David is grieved over his sin, not that he got caught, but he was very sorry, that there's a sign that God's Spirit was at work in him. I mean, if you do something and you feel terrible about it, it's like the Bible was that Paul or Peter says, you know, I try to do the right thing, but I always do the things that I don't want to do. Oh, help me, what a wretched man I am. Who would help me but Jesus? And if you're feeling like that, like, oh, I'm trying to do good, but I don't. I'm trying not to cuss at the guys who drive the wrong way. I'm trying so hard, but I do, because they're going to hurt somebody. And so they go, oh, Lord, I try to do good, but I do bad, because I know I'm not supposed to. Like the Bible says, with this, we praise the Lord, and then we curse man with the same lips. How can that be? So the fact that you are grieving, you are sorry. You know, if you've ever been so discouraged by your sin that you wondered, man, how could God love me? Surely, if I call myself a Christian, how could, and I do these things, how could God love me? You know, take comfort in knowing the very grief that you are experiencing is a sign that you have the Spirit of God working on you and working in you, causing you to hate what God hates. Yeah, so if you do something you know you're not supposed to do, and you feel like, oh man, your inside feels yucky, and you feel like, oh, I shouldn't do this, then you know that, hey, the Spirit of God is working in you, and let the Holy Spirit comfort you. 7, I love this one, rejoice and proclaim truth. Psalms 51, 12 to 15, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. I love that. I will teach all those out there, all those who are still going 90 miles an hour to hell. I will teach them your ways, your forgiveness. I will teach them how to repent. I will teach them how much you love them. We rejoice and we tell about the truth of God's love to all those. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, and the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness, O Lord. Open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. And David is asking God to make him so joyful about his salvation that he can't help but teach other sinners the forgiving ways of God. How many of you are so joyful about your salvation that you want to share it with the guy who cut you off, the guy who stole your parking stall, the guy who has 20 items in the express lane? How do you want to share it with that neighbor you dislike, that coworker who slacks and makes you pick up that slack? Is your salvation so great that you want to share it with everybody? I hope so. Open my lips, Lord. Let my mouth declare your praise. I mean, this point is so important because so often we sin and we do the opposite. We wallow in our sin. We crawl into our cave. Oh, I cannot go to church. I gotta hide. I'm so bad. You know, the guy that I was tailgating into town was Pastor Scott. I cannot see him. Right? So often we do the opposite. When we do something wrong, oh, I'm not worthy to go to church. I'm not worthy to go to Bible study. We cannot. We got to proclaim the truth. We got to understand. We repent. We forgive. Here David says that the joy of forgiveness of sin should compel us to speak of that good news with our family, with our friends, with our coworkers, with our neighbors. We got to rejoice in our salvation. Proclaim the victory we have, the truth that God forgives. And the last point, we need to resolve to obey. See, we can check off all the boxes, do all the steps above, say all the right words, but if in the back of our minds we're planning to sin again, then the grace isn't truly taking root. What God desires is a mark of true repentance, a heart that is broken by sin and truly contrite. In 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. So you see, God desires our obedience more than our sacrifice. Psalms 51, 16 and 17. "For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, will you not despise?" God wants a broken spirit, a broken and repentant heart, so he can rebuild us. You can never please God by outward actions, no matter how good. If your heart attitude is not right, are you sorry for your sins? Do you genuinely intend to stop? And God is pleased by this repentance. I remember when I first came to really walk with the Lord, I had an addiction to nicotine. And I before I would get out of the church parking lot, I'd be lighting my cigarette. How many of you do that out here? Halfway out, you lighting your cigarette already. Nobody else. Only was me. Only one of you. One of you honest. And it was, and I don't think the Bible says anything about, oh, you better not smoke. But as I realized that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, by smoking, I would be destroying it. And you know, if you're going to go that far by not eating right and exercising, I'm doing the same thing. So I'm still, you know, I still need plenty more repentance, maybe more than you. But I had that addiction, and I really wanted to quit. And I would say, I'm going to quit. But it never happened. And it went on for a couple years that I would like my cigarette. And especially when you have an argument with your spouse. Yeah, I mean, as soon as you argue with your spouse, oh, I need one cigarette, right? After you eat, yeah, I need one cigarette. And I knew I needed to make some changes. And I would say, oh, yeah, I'm going to quit. But I never did. It's only until my heart made up my, just like I have, my heart has a mind of its own. It's only when my heart decided to quit, then it was easy. See, it wasn't about my mind change. It was about my heart change. And I think when we talk about repentance, we need to have a change of heart and truly not only say it, but let it show. Okay, so here's the thing. I want repentance for us to be more than words, but let it move us to truly repent, not only in our actions, but in our heart. Amen? So I hope these last 2 weeks it really helped, because when I write these messages, a lot of the time it starts with me learning to repent. And like I told you, my biggest sin, I think, is when I get behind the wheel. Because, maybe I should get on horse for now and ride it to and from work. Maybe it'll teach me a lesson with a sore butt going up and down. Jeanette, can I borrow one of your horses? She probably said no, because her horses are too fancy. But that's my thing, and I need to not just repent up here, but in here, and understand that, man, it is a privilege to be able to drive a car, right? I mean, it is. You think about other countries where they're riding bicycles or stuff worse, or they're walking. And I got to understand that God has blessed me with this and not take it for granted and be truly repentant and have so much patience when I drive, or drive at 2 o'clock in the morning when nobody else is. But that's not going to happen, right? So you can put away your notes. So let me know. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Let me know if you want to do the walkthrough at KL High School. If you want shirts, sign up at the table. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Part of repenting, yeah? When we repent, when we're first out there, we repent. We confess our sins. We repent. We come to God. We ask Him to be our Lord and Savior. That's like the first sign of repentance. We accept Jesus. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to ask if you want to repent and you want to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. This is between you and God. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to pray for you. Would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? Yeah, hold up a hand. No shame. And Lord, thank you so much. And I ask that you would help us if we need to repent from anything that we are doing or anything that we have done. Help us to repent, not by words, but in our heart and in our actions. Let us repent. Let us run to you with all of our might, and that you would forgive us and that you would help us in this road to repentance, to recovery, to stay on the right path with you. We thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you stand and we're going to sing? Thank the Lord.
Listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.